Welcome to a Muzzled Chat. Hope everyone had a terrific weekend and are having a fine Monday. Now, I don't know what it is about Erica here, but I just have good vibes. Maybe it's because she's connecting with me all the way from Hawaii, and I say it like a tourist. I know I do, even though I've never been there. It's cool when I hear people say Hawaii that are from there. There's like a Hawaii or something. Is that how it said it, Erica?
Yeah, I still haven't quite perfected it, but yeah, it's Hawaii. Hawaii, there's a they call it a glottal stop.
Right.
H-A-W-A-I, Okina.
I love my dad. You know, I know he's been there a handful of times, but he says it's so pronounced. I'm like, I feel like you're on the other side of the tourist like pool where you're trying to sound like a local tour. You're like, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
All right, Dad. But no. So Erica here has an awesome story. Now, I'll admit, I don't know too much of it because I want to save and capture everything she's gone through as a Lyme warrior herself organically. So we're all going to dive into this at the same time together. I know she's going to hit on some powerful things. And I just really hope it breathes light and life and hope into ones that are struggling, and not just folks struggling with Lyme disease, because I'm seeing the deterioration of health all around us. So even those that are healthy, stay tuned, because there's a lot to pick up on here where we could all up our resilience. And one of the blessings with Lyme, how we rule out all these toxins, all like, I don't know, we're able to like balance things out. Like it becomes kind of the gold standard, if you will, to achieve optimal health for anybody. So anyway, with that being said, Erica, thank you so much for joining us here on a Muzzled Chat. How are you?
I'm good. I had a little bit of a very high social weekend, so I'm definitely coming off of like needing. Yesterday was spent pretty mellow, and today we're ramping back up, but
I get it.
Yeah.
It's like with Lyme, I mean, anyone, right? Anyone, and that's the thing. We really want to bring in relation and understanding for those that don't have Lyme. There's this disconnect where just folks around us just aren't, they're trying to show up, they're trying to understand, but there's just, I guess it's difficult. The same thing I learned as a former alcoholic in AA programs, where it took people with that alcoholism to really be able to relate. But there can be, through awareness, through educating, through consideration, through upping our resilience, through empathy, and research, more understanding. And it's just like cancer, you know, cancer. I'm sorry, I just flashed back to a recent conversation on a post. And I just wanted to do a disclaimer where in no way, shape, or form am I diminishing the challenges that are posed with cancer. By this is no pissing match, so to speak. But it's one of them things, like with the correlation with Lyme disease leading to cancer, it's just absolutely crucial as a root of an issue, we up the awareness of this, because hypothetically we could eradicate a lot of people from even dealing with cancer by earlier diagnoses to the root of these issues. But what I'm touching on in this point with cancer is like, historically, like there was a time we didn't really understand it. And those that struggled out the gate 20, 30 years ago, there was no insurance coverage. It was more woo-woo to Western medicine, but it became the thing it is today, and people understand it more. And that was simply through awareness. So like that, that's kind of where we're at with Lyme, and we need, but it's harder understood with Lyme because we can look fine on the outside, where a cancer patient's losing all their body mass.
Yes.
And then the chemos, they're losing their hair and they look more skeleton, and it's, your heart just goes out. So help us do our part, Erica, on sounding the alarm for folks. My
Yeah,
goodness.
I know. It's hard because it's what they call an invisible disease, right?
Right.
At least for me, at when you know at the point in which I caught it, because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis first. So
Okay. Yep.
that's how I even got on this whole path. So most doctors won't even entertain the idea of me having Lyme disease because I live in Hawaii.
Gosh.
But I wasn't born in, I wasn't born here. I was born in Northern California. So my dad deer hunted. We camped all the time. We spent lots of time outdoors. Like, it's very possible. But if I talk to a doctor here, they'll tell me Lyme disease doesn't exist in Hawaii. It's like, well, you know, most people are transplants who live here. So let's consider that.
You want to
But
see this? Right here. Lyme
when
carrying ticks have been found in all 50 states and all around the world. All right, doctors. All right, experts. All right,
Like, think about
know-it-alls.
it.
Yeah,
Think about it.
a little bug couldn't, let's say, even if that environment it couldn't survive, as though that bug couldn't live in my bag from one of these states or in on my body, you know, without me detecting it. And then live a week or two out there and infect who knows how many.
Well,
Okay,
here's the
experts.
other thing is that, like, you know, me being from Northern California and being having Lyme for God only knows how long. I mean, I don't know. I had one known tick bite when I was like 21, I think, but you know, it could, my exposure could have been at an earlier age. And then I moved here, and then a vector-borne mosquito or, you know,
Yes.
tick or whatever could feed off me. And then what? Like, there's multiple different ways that this could happen. And I'm not a
Yep.
scientist by any means, but
Doesn't
like,
take one. Yeah.
come on.
So, wow. All right. Let's dive into your story here a bit then. You can start where you wanted, but it would be nice to pick up on when things started impacting you and how this walk has gone from there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's kind of hard because so I've dealt with a couple different
Right. Yeah. You're good.
diagnoses anyway, before Lyme came into the picture. So in 2017, I started feeling kind of just weird. I feel like I've always struggled with fatigue pretty bad, and so EBV comes into question, which we all have been exposed to EBV, right? So that's one thing, but I was first diagnosed with Hashimoto's because I had what they call thyroid antibodies. So my immune system was attacking my thyroid for some unknown reason. We don't really know. Well, now, I mean, now what? Could maybe a spirochete or spirochete could have been in my thyroid or something. My body was trying to attack it that way. No one knows. We don't know. Anyway, so Hashimoto's, and then that was in 2017. And then in 2020, from 2017 to 2020, I was still continuing to have mystery things. My feet started to become numb and tingly. I started to have blurry double vision. I was having heat intolerance, vertigo to the point where I would walk on the sand and fell. Like,
Oh my gosh.
yeah. So all these things were happening. And I am kind of a Google freak. I don't know how you would say that. So someone who's,
Scroogle.
yeah.
No, they still they end up they influence a lot of data, right? Like
Yeah.
certain narratives. It's no
Totally.
secret,
No,
but you can, if you're good at it, you
stuff
can get to
out.
the bottom. Yeah. Okay.
Totally.
You're
So,
a researcher.
oh yeah, I'm a research individual. So
I like it.
Google kept telling me, because I was putting in all my symptoms, and Google was like multiple sclerosis. And so finally, you know, after seeing maybe five different physicians and just being like, oh, at the other thing, my hand went numb, like my hand to my forearm went entirely numb. And they were like, oh, maybe it's a pinched nerve, this and that. And I think that was what I That was the biggest one. And so they just kept dismissing me, essentially. And I finally went in and I said, I'm done. I want a brain MRI. Physician did a brain MRI because I was like, I'm done. Like, I think I have MS at this point.
Right.
So did the brain MRI. She calls me that weekend and basically says, it looks like it is MS. And I'm like, okay. And she apologized to me. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, I already thought that's what this was. I don't know why you're apologizing to me. I mean, obviously it's kind of a heavy diagnosis, but the thing was the brain MRI did not state multiple sclerosis. All it did was state something like a disease. Let me see if I can think of how it said something indicative of a demyelinating disease. So it didn't say MS, but that, I mean, because it's a wide range of diseases, like Lyme could cause it. So that was in 2020. And then I went on just a whole huge path of trying, of going down MS. And my neurologist did do that. This is the interesting thing. My neurologist did do, because he said he wanted to roll out any MS mimics. And he did a Western blot on me and it came back as negative, because obviously we know Western blots are
defective.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I did come back with one band, and it was 41 KDA. And I'm like, okay, why did I have a band? And he was like, well, it's not Lyme disease, so it's MS. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to trust him. But I always saw that because I look at my own labs.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. But, and I think that's one thing we can stress, like get a hold of your own labs, get your patient portal. If you don't have access to that, then make your physician make you copies of your own labs so you have that for your own records, because that's imperative, I feel like. But so I saw the one band that was kind of always in the back of my head, and I started the MS medication, which is a pretty big drug. It was a B cell depleter, so it killed half of my immune system, which, as we know, as we know now with Lyme, you need your immune system to try and keep this in check. So So 2020, I started the MS medication. At first I was fine, but then things started to slowly decline again. And I was like, what's going on here? I thought, you know, and the thing is with MS, you know, as we know, MS, ALS, all those things could potentially be Lyme. And I don't want to. The thing is that I know as people who have these diseases, it becomes something they identify with, and they take it on if it's who they are. And that's not them.
No,
like that wasn't me.
Right.
But if someone were to have, you know, when I was first diagnosed and dealing with that and going through such heavy emotions and trying to just day by day type of thing, if someone were to say, no, that's Lyme you have, that's not MS, I would have been like, who are you? So I get the problem that people have when someone brings them that. And I get the frustration you could initially have. Anyway, well, yeah.
To some of the listeners that, you know, you may share this with out there, Lyme disease has been attributed, like any immune related deficiency or anything like that, that's a big red flag, and Lyme should be brought onto the table. Hands down, whether you even recall an encounter with a tick or not, especially if you had multiple encounters. But to your point, it has been reported people getting it through all sorts of biting insects, not just ticks, mosquitoes being one of them, which is a freaking scary thought. There's also been, they found it in inoculations. They found Lyme disease in tap water. They've even found it in chemtrail spray, which is like, ugh. Yeah, that's not accidental. This is intentional. And so for those that, and we don't need to go down there, like we have enough content on this platform for those that want to know more and get legitimate links, like the book Bitten talks about biowarfare and the origins essentially of this horrific disease. And unfortunately, it seems to me, I mean, I can't say definitively I know it all, but I'm looking at all the evidence, I'm looking at everything, that this was man created, and that that goes to show a lot as to why Western blot being defective, there's even a stronger word we could use there. It is, I'm getting beside the point. The point is that Lyme mimics over 300 other illnesses and diseases. And so they call it the great chameleon because it's hard to get to the root of this issue. So often, like your story, like your experience, people will get the misdiagnosis. They're not getting to the root of the issue. And often, I mean, you're lucky at the point, for whatever reason, you end up on some type of path where it ends up any benefit to you. Typically, it's not. It's just it not focused on the root of the issue. It's going to end up worse before it gets better. And time, money, energy, emotional fortitude, everything suffers. So it's a very devastating illness. It can kill you. It just more so makes you wish you were dead, which is sad because there's a huge connection between this disease and suicide. There were 500,000 diagnoses of Lyme disease in North America alone over this last year. That is more than breast cancer and HIV combined. So sit on that. We know all about breast cancer. We know all about HIV. So the question becomes, why do you not know much about Lyme?
Yeah.
So I would want those healthy to even selfishly sink on these facts, these stats. You cannot afford to ignore them. Talk about a true epidemic. This is it. And your very health is at stake. Could your brain fog or your, let's just say, low energy or certain things potentially be attributed to this horrific disease? So it's through awareness, like cancer, we can up the diagnosing, the testing, the protocols, the financial assistance, everything. And I can't wait to get into it with you. The upping the support structure around those that do end up afflicted because they need you. We need that. Like often in my walk, the relational side of things became at times more challenging than the disease itself when I was knocking on death's door. How is that possible? A disease that, like, I was ready to end it. I just wasn't really capable of doing it, you know? But yeah, the relational side of things. So, wow, that awareness is key. Anyway, I am talking too much. I digress, no. Erica. Apologies.
No.
So continue on, please.
Oh, no. I mean, my story is, it's still really hard to kind of organize it because I think, like I said before, it's just so chaotic and going through this and questioning. And it's like, okay, well now, you know, I have MS and everyone in that's what I went through. Everyone in my life was rallying behind me because they understood or even, I mean, geez, MS has a really bad a PR team. Lyme has a terrible marketing and PR team. Like they just, no one knows or understands it. So people understood MS. And more. I feel like, yeah. And I feel like it's getting a little more of the limelight, you know, like Selma Blair and I think Christina Applegate and all these different celebrities have come out now saying I have MS. And so, so people understood it, but now that I have the whole Lyme thing, which again, being a research individual, I was like, you know, why do I have band 41 KDA? Like, what does that mean? Well, it turns out, I think it is, and I always butcher the name. Is it spirochete? How do you say it?
Spirochete. Yeah.
Spirochete.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not like outing myself or anything, but I think is chlamydia, right? Is it chlamydia or is it, what's the other?
Oh,
That is also a spirochete.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's right there. Right?
It's one of them.
Yeah.
Is also a spirochete that I can't think. Syphilis?
Yeah. Is it syphilis?
It's one of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's been brought up so many times.
Right. So
Yeah.
that is also a spirochete. And so I'm like,
Right.
but so, you know, what's going on here? Something weird is going on here. But
Yeah.
my neurologist never wanted to investigate it. He just put me, and I was scared enough to just go along with it. So he put me on again a B cell depleting medication, which it entirely wiped out half of my immune system. It's called Ocrevus, and I don't know if we're allowed to talk about drug names here, but
It's unmuzzled. We talk about whatever we want. And
okay.
that's where we could take a moment and just thank Rumble for allowing free speech. Not to
Yeah.
YouTube is a pain. All these other, it's crazy. We need more people to support these free speech platforms and hoard over to them to their own benefits, because otherwise you're only going to be allowed, you're only going to know what they want you to know. And mislead you into believing, because it would be, let's just say, let's throw it out there, it would be financially to their benefit to continue down MS path
Oh,
and
yeah.
get to the root of the issue. It financially, and that's the biggest problem with Western medicine. It's big business. It's the Benjamins are prioritized over health and quality of life. We need to change that. We the people can change that. So that's like the call to action. We're trying to create the proper momentum for everyone to become a part of. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of being a customer for life, right? So, or
Exactly.
a client for life, because that's what they wanted for me. And then scared the shit out of me, you know, thinking that if I'm not on this drug, like I'm gonna lose my ability to walk, I'm gonna lose my ability to talk, I'm gonna lose any sort of, which, as we know, with people with Lyme, that does happen. Those things do happen, and it's terrible. But they reframed it as I have MS, and if I'm not on this drug, which costs $100,000 every 6 months, not out of my pocket,
Wow.
out of the insurance company's pocket. And luckily, I was as far as my income, I qualified for the parent company who manufactures Ocrevus called Genentech. I was eligible for being on one of their co-pay programs. So they took care of, even though insurance companies have it like what, 80-20 split oftentimes. So they'll cover 80% of it, and then the patient is responsible for 20%. So I mean, 20% of $100,000 is, I don't do math, but that's still a lot.
$20,000.
Yeah. There you go.
Man.
So the company, Genentech, ended up paying that portion of it. Thank the Lord. But
Wow.
so yeah, yes, it's in their best interest to keep you as a client for life.
Wow.
And doing that every 6 months, 100 grand a pop is like, makes you wonder.
By the way, you were right. Syphilis.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you on doing your research and having an open mind. I
Yeah.
mean, because at first you were just blindly entrusting and the infrastructure and the white lab coats, but it seems like you were even, well, Scroogle got to you there a little bit, but
Yeah.
you didn't know any better, right? But you
Totally.
influenced, and it led to the path of getting things sorted out anyways. But the fact you had to push the envelope regarding the MS, and I think that just pretty much led internally within you to being like questioning, you know, to where you're like, all right, I'm gonna get to the freaking bottom of this, because things, the needle is not being moved in the right direction. I'm the one who's suffering. And so you yourself started connecting the dots. Did it lead you to a Lyme literate doctor then, or?
No. So, we're a little behind here, in Hawaii. So, which is good and bad, obviously. Good in some ways that, you know, there's still a lot of, I don't know. I liken it to being, I was born in the 80s, so I don't know what it was like to live in the 80s. But, you know, some physicians only want to communicate via fax. And I'm like, what? We don't fax. Do you have an email? Like, what? So just silly things like that to where we're kind of behind the times. I did find a naturopathic physician who was open to it, and she's the one who ordered the Vibrant lab testing for me, and that was just, it was obviously expensive, and that was a hurdle for me. That was, but it was always kind of in the back of my mind, and I felt like I would be doing myself an injustice by not just exploring it, just,
Right.
entertaining it, seeing I or that or that, then I always regret it. And
Yes.
that's not something that I wanted to have on my own conscience.
Right.
So we did the Vibrant labs testing in November of 2023. So I haven't, like I said, I'm pretty new to all this. I mean, it's always been in my back pocket that this could be a possibility, but I didn't get
Right.
confirmation until just last year.
Last year. Wow. What did
So
that, so that changed kind of everything, gave you a path? 'Cause you look well. You look great. You sounding great. I mean,
I
even
try.
if you over, if you drained your batteries, like our batteries seem to never fully recharge, right? Like we got to get out of the woods of it all. I'm not even there yet. I have
No.
moments of more resilience than others, but it's kind of a roller coaster. But I'm glad to report for me and for, yeah, there's ways you can minimize the roller coaster and the highs and the lows, and I've been just tracking. It feels like I'm on solid ground that's going in the right direction, and I'm elated. Like it, there were months and months and months where, and I don't mean to talk about me, it's just
No.
highlighting. You know, like kind of what we deal with. But I remember just like a month ago being like, oh, if we could just get, we're almost there. If we could get just a little more progress, just a little more breakthrough, like life is worth living. I'm like questioning. I'm not quite there. Like I could feel the depression monster back over there, and I could feel this, and then one day would be okay, and then one day would be way more challenging. And I'm glad to report that it did get to that point where it is beyond worth living. And this is where, when you have breakthrough and you look back, no way, shape, or form, as people around me would indicate, I was fabricating things up, that I'm like a hydro, what do you call it? Hypochondriac.
Hypochondriac.
Yeah, hypochondriac. And that,
Yeah.
you know, like I was just a
Yep.
weak man and not able to bootstrap. I was white knuckling, where I truly feel there's probably some warriors out there that might have, you know, been able to walk my shoes better than I did, undoubtedly, right? But I've ventured to say the majority would have fallen. It's a hard freaking path, but it's so crazy reflecting back. Who in the right mind would conjure this stuff up? You can't. You
Yeah,
can't.
no, why would you willingly take this on? And
Right.
yeah, if you had any knowledge about how
So
so
it's really opened my eyes to like depression as a whole and all these other things, where I'm like, our society's got it all wrong. It's not the psychological. I mean, that's probably a rare case where someone's just wiring's off, but I'd venture to say the majority of it all, it's infiltration, whether it's parasitical, whether it's disease, whether it's biowarfare, whether it's toxin overload from metals, plastics, even the signals.
old. Yeah.
There's so many
EMF
things.
old.
Like
Absolutely.
imbalanced hormonal, imbalanced nutrition. There's so much to hone in on before any SSRI, before any Western medicine, and you could actually have great breakthrough. I
Yeah.
didn't even really touch on, like, this is the most like misdiagnosed, undiagnosed disease known to man. So even though we mentioned the 500,000, just want people to know it's in the millions, tens of millions, potentially hundreds of millions, like worldwide. Like it's huge. This is a real big issue. So you get your positive Lyme. What more so didn't help you, and what has helped you have breakthrough?
So, I mean, in a way, we were talking about really just overall like health and wellness.
Yes.
You and that I seem, clear-headed, or that I'm here and, energetic and able to have this conversation, which I'm so grateful and thankful for, that I, am still me. When I got the MS diagnosis, I went full, you know, warrior, fear, let's go, we're fighting this fight. I threw out any product that could be potentially wow. have any known toxins or carcinogens, anything that was questionable, I threw it in the trash. I completely changed my diet. I went dairy free, gluten free, soy free, sugar free, egg free, you know, everything free, which for me was good because in a way, you know, we're all as humans, we're also attached emotionally to food and rightfully so. It's a you know, it's family, it's nourishment, it's happy, it tastes good. But a lot of times our food, especially here in the good old United States of America,
oh my gosh,
is not only hyper palatable, but is addicting on like a chemical level.
Intentionally.
Yes. Exactly.
Like crack cocaine addicting.
Yes. So, you know, I had to get rid of all of that. And in a way, it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, it was enough of a wake up for me to say, I'm done with all of this. And also looking at, you know, your personal relationships and the people that might be draining, though, that's huge too, especially family, like, gosh, family. But so, you know, anything, I mean, even coffee, I was like, let me look. I went down the coffee rabbit hole of the majority of the coffee has mold and mycotoxins and all these other pesticides and all this other stuff that's like, you could have lime and you could be fine until one thing takes you down. And usually it's mold. So people who are, you know, might have mold in the home or mold in the workplace. And now that I've gone a little bit further, I feel like it probably was my place of work. And not only that, but talking about removing toxic people and situations, I used to work for a dermatology office, which I loved, and I love skin and I love patient care and I love all of that, but it was just the culture of it was just, it was soul crushing to, you know,
right.
But
well, there's so much to dive in there. Like, we have a lot of exposure on the poisons to help people up their resilience. So please check out recent episodes. I mean, there was one where we just played this clip about what they found even recently about the Starbucks cup. You mentioned coffee and yes, the molds and all these things that have like this neurological negative, like total huge impact, like lethargic, everything, monoisk symptoms, everything. Mold is bad, bad, bad. And we constantly need to be in a place of detox in the world we live in now. It's just the way it is. Now you could clean things up to where it's not as big of a thing you got to onboard, but it's wild. Like they just went over the simple basics that we're not even touching on. Like it's a paper freaking cup, people. Like a natural paper cup would absorb the moisture. So there's layers, there's barriers. And it isn't just like this layer of wax. People think there's literally microplastic and they tested it. And the hundreds of thousands of like plastic particles, when warm material gets put in there, that leach into the, it's insanely high and insanely toxic. So we just need to do our due diligence. And I feel that's a big disconnect that's leading into people's resilience being deteriorated, not to effectively be able to show up for Lyme disease, if that makes sense. There's so much to uncover there. But I would like to throw out there that for Lyme, when we're in this fight or flight, inflammation's running rampant throughout the body, the spiral keeps infiltrating the brain, like depleting our dopamine, serotonin, cortisol levels, all the above. We end up lacking even the ability to handle kind of normal situations that most people could just shrug off and just like, okay, tell someone they're a jerk and then get over it, right? Like it puts us in a heightened state where things end up becoming far more traumatic and impacting, and it drags us that much further down. But that's where I feel, so with that disconnect, those around us, like, hey, it's indisputable our family and friends and loved ones care. However, like, there's this question, how do we fix that switch within individuals to care, but care to understand? Because it becomes irrelevant when someone's suffering and they're on death's door, if you're showing up caring in an ineffective way, what does that matter? What does that matter? You could be doing more damage than good. And if you genuinely love this individual, you could virtue signal all you want, excuse yourself. Well, I tried, but you're seeing your ignorance, your pride, your ego at that point isn't allowing you to actually connect. And this is proof of the deteriorated state. That's why we all got to up our health, our function, our resilience, to where we're not taking offense, to where we can freaking effectively show up for those that are suffering and be solution based, be a support, someone to lean on to actually help clear the path and ease the struggle. But I do believe we have become such a self-serving culture as Americans, and ignorance and pride and ego, all these things have been instilled in us, this defective wiring, to where, I mean, do I go there regarding the whole alcoholism and facing the man in the mirror? I don't even want to dive into it because this is your time, Erica.
No, I feel like it's valid. It's, you know, when people are facing those kinds of things, it's all our own internal battles that we're fighting, but being able to have the space, you know, to have some understanding, like if my family members know what the, you know, when I'm the fatigue, you know, oh, yes, I've been tired. Well, it's like, okay, thank you for saying that you've been tired too, but it's a little bit different. And just having the space to entertain that, maybe, I don't know. I truthfully know. I don't know what the answer
is. It's wild. I'm not looking for apologies or anything like that. Like, I'm looking, so as I reflect back, this is something I've had for over 30 years of my life before I got the diagnosis. But then again, my God-given immune system did a pretty darn good job considering like how healthy, health conscious I was before. It helped my immune system keep a lot of these things at bay. But I never, compared to all my other siblings, we got six kids. I'm one of six. And I'm an outlier. I'm a black sheep. Like, it's crazy. Everyone popping up in the morning, all these other things. And it's just like, I've always had an issue getting going. Always. My whole life. And it's wild, like, reflecting back, like, I was the issue. So it's not like I want to help bridge that gap so people can understand, A, is red flags arise, like, okay, now we can lead into diagnosis so people aren't going their whole lives with this, like, diminishing, it is something that's diminishing the quality of their experience. But even more than that, so you're actually showing up and help, you know, help me just be solution based and not problem based is really, really what it's boiling down to. But it is interesting. We will go there. So what I was referencing regarding alcoholism and the man in the mirror, I struggled amongst the battle of alcoholism, facing the man in the mirror and asking if I value this life. Like, do I value it? Because I knew it was like kind of a weak yes at first. I knew with this weak yes what that meant. That meant I got to cut out this toxic relationship, alcohol, out of my life. And I didn't want to onboard that responsibility. I didn't want to onboard that accountability. And that's what I feel a lot of this is for family members and people and folks, because A, they don't understand. And they, with this situation, I believe it is sheer laziness. if I'm going to sum it up, and some people, if you're going to take offense, like, to anything we're saying, we're just trying to get to the solution of things so we can up all of our resilience. And the point you're going to take offense, that more so in my eyes becomes proof that you're at a deteriorated state, that there's resilience to be upped within you, because you'd be ignoring the intent here. And the intent is to actually create tighter bonds with one another and not allow these situations and things and experiences and life challenges to create those wedges and those fissures and these feelings against each other, to where we can have effective communication, where we're not like walking on eggshells and moving the needle in right directions. It's the sheer laziness of kind of like that moment in the mirror where, wow, my sister, my child here is struggling with something. I'm going to set down my life for a second to understand. I'm going to seek understanding. I'm going to watch. And guys, there's so amazing things out there. I would say I have them queued up here. So The Monster Inside Me, that one's pretty good. But I think this is the most powerful one here. The Quiet Epidemic. We all like our freaking films. These are very well done documentaries, but The Quiet Epidemic goes over a lot of the stats, really heavy hitting things, but The Monster Inside Me is really good. And then also Under Our Skin. Just be sure to check the description part of this episode. I'll be sure to plug the links into these, but that would bring, because this actually has people with Lyme that are actually showing, like, it's manifesting on like they can't function, like they're convulsing and things of that nature. But I don't know if I drove that home enough. That's just where awareness is key, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's one of the ways, and people, it's people either deciding to take time and open up space and maybe being open to the idea of what it is and really, right, just taking that time to educate themselves and just explore it a little bit. And that's one of, right, I would say that it is probably the number one way that a family member or a loved one can support someone who's dealing with this, is just, right, to just read about it a little bit. Or if you don't like reading, watch a documentary and just try to gain some understanding about it. Cause it's a lot for an individual to deal with. And so it's super helpful if people, loved ones around you, can help have these conversations, or, you know, how can I best support you, right, or this, or that. Like, just educate yourself.
Like, it's easy. It's easy to take the stance of, well, all right, sis, well, just, you're fine. Come on, you're fine. And there's a level to you where you're like, you know what? But what they're not connecting the dot on is how easy, that's the lazy way about it, and how that could actually be negatively impacting you amongst your struggle. It's actually essentially discrediting, like, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't chalk up the cancer patient to be the issue. You'd be an asshat, as I've said, like, on this platform. You'd be an asshat to make out cancer patient to be their own issue. Why is that happening with this disease? Yeah. I don't freaking get it. It's like, it's a real thing. It's a fibrous little, pardon my French, but yeah, little bastard that infiltrates. There's no limitations. A lot of cancers even have limitations. There's no limitation to this spiral key within, like, the human body. I don't think it could travel through bone, but it could get into bone marrow, ligament, tissue, plus pass a blood-brain barrier, get into your joints, your fascia, your organs, your meat tissues, everything. And it just wreaks havoc. It's devastating. So if people could just boom all the grace in the world and seek that education, and then also champion this battle by even putting in extra efforts to understand and seek remedy and solutions or financial support, or get creative with financial support, because this has been no joke. Insurance doesn't cover freaking anything. I've spent
No,
over six figures. Yeah.
all of it.
Oh my gosh. So what has helped you? You
Being a
cleaned up your
hermit.
diet. You're a hermit. Oh my gosh.
Only having my friends as my dogs. No, I'm just kidding. Or my dogs as my friends is what I meant. No, I quit my job, obviously, because it was just, and now that I think about it, I mean, I remember sitting there and sitting in front of the computer and not even being able to see the computer because that's how bad. And I don't
Oh,
wear glasses.
wow.
So it was just like there was I'm sure there was a nervous system dysregulation, but I'm almost positive that is what happened, is that I was probably exposed to mold there, and then that's what took me down.
Magnified everything. Yeah.
So, and then we know that mold can also disrupt the nervous system. So it's just like, what came
Yes.
first, the chicken or the egg type of thing. And it's just, so getting out of that environment has helped tremendously. And really just distancing myself from a lot of people that I felt were super draining. Obviously,
Healthy boundaries.
yeah, which is hard for me, and
Yes.
because I am such a helper, I want to help people, and it's like I had this girl texting me today about a greens powder bloom, I guess that's what it was called. And she said, there's a warning label on it. Can I drink this or not? And I'm like, who? You need to ask yourself if you can drink that or not. Like, maybe do some research about it and see. I would think maybe there's heavy metals in it. There could be other toxins. Like, is it organic? Like, I don't know, but then I'm like, what? I'm the one here. And I don't want to be like, I'm the one suffering, because that's not how that's not there. The victim mindset is also
Right.
really detrimental for people.
We gotta combat all that. But the thing is, like, I feel like we're a lot alike on, like, I don't know, sociable even scales to an extent. Like we don't want to set those healthy bounds. We want, especially family and friends, to bring them in. But what is so important regarding this disease? We aren't really left a choice if certain relations are disrupting our peace. Because it is, I can't emphasize enough how incredibly crucial, like absolutely crucial it is that we maintain as much calm and out of fight or flight as we can. Because when we're triggered fight or flight, that's where we feel it. That's where, like, it could be just a moment of anxiety of like a situation that doesn't even need to exist. And it could put you on your butt, not just days, but weeks. I mean, I've been down, dude, I've been down for months where it was the trigger for things. And that's where we just got to grasp, how do we become effective on being solutions and showing up for our loved ones in ways. That's what it boils down to: personal accountability and being personally responsible on showing up in ways that are actually positively helpful, right? That's what it boils down to. And just ask ourselves and keep this level of humility. Like, and that's where, if you have an individual that's constantly coming up to you and is like, oh, hey, let's have a challenging conversation because I want to understand, like, that would just be so helpful. But also, like, just making sure, like, just, hey, is this, are we good? And it's because we don't want it to come to the point of like, I've tried, I've been vulnerable, I've expressed this thing, and like, at the end of the chat, at the end, every time I see you, it's putting me in a state, and I want to like you. I want to be around you, but I need to set healthy boundaries. It's not what I want to do. And that's what they got to understand. Society would wire us in a prideful way to where we're just doing this and pointing the fingers and like, oh, well, it's so and so. It's like, you're missing the point, right? Like, this is good. This has been helpful to me. It's been therapeutic.
Good. I feel like one thing that has been really helpful for me in regards to those types of relationship is just to ask them to ask me first if I'm in a place where they can, XYZ, where if they need a vent or whatever, or I've right now my sister and I have a strained relationship because my dad is an alcoholic and he just went through some pretty scary stuff, but he also has Lyme, but he doesn't pay attention to Lyme. And so it's like, it's hard because he was obviously drinking to escape everything that goes on with Lyme. And that is something that happens to a lot of us. I started to go down that path myself for a little while because it's just like anything to just distract you and just numb out. And I mean, again, just going back to life is hard, even without Lyme. But anyway, I had to ask my sister to, ask permission before she just unloaded on me first, because it's like I may not be in a space where I can handle. Like, I could have, the whole spoon theory. I could have maybe one or two spoons left, and all of a sudden she starts telling me all this stuff about my dad, and he did this, and he did that, and this and that, and then I just gave you all my spoons, and now I have no spoons. But now my nervous system is in a state of heightened fight or flight, sympathetic, this and that. And it's like, I can't do that. I can't responsibly, being responsible for myself, allow you to do that to me.
See, this is what's so crazy too. Like, I'm here to testify. That's not a state you even want to be in, but it is so real. It is so real. And if you overexerted yourself and just whatever, like, no, this is important, and you continued in that state, dare I say, for some, it would be the final nail in the coffin. It genuinely would lead to that. But there is, with the little breakthroughs I've had, I can onboard more of those moments. I can even catch myself amongst the situation and just be like, you know what? And I come in and I become the de-escalator in a sense. So like it's been a blessing kind of going through all this, because it really, I don't know, well, never claim, like, it's a forever pursuit and work, but it's actually magnified so many things, from maturity, from seeing, like, just not getting caught up and wrapped up. But I'm human. I will lose it still, you know. I guess I'm just trying to put my finger on that pulse as to, like, it's just more proof, but there's hope, right? That does and can get better. It just proves that there's something, that Lyme is very real, and there just needs to be more grace, right? We can't lose sight of love for one another. Let go of the personal thing, realize in that moment the negative impact you are partaking in from any side of that situation, and it is totally contradicting to unification and actually fulfilling, like, love for one individual. I feel love, in a way, is an overused word, and I feel it's not as valuable as like and likability, because I will forever love my family, I'll forever love certain individuals, but boy, doesn't mean I like them or like to be around them. And I want to like them. I want to like to be around them and spend more and more time. But it's weird. There's a disconnect. And we as individuals, and I'm raising my hand on everything I'm talking about here. I don't want to be entirely hypocritical. I've done everything I've said a hundredfold. And I'm trying to acknowledge and recognize and move past all, like, refine and be better, and not be hypocritical in that sense. Like, practice what I preach to an extent. Not that I feel I'm preaching per se, but to be able to acknowledge the actual impacts we're having on those we care about. And it's just like, the only way we really achieve that is through being, like, humble and meek, not know-it-all syndrome, not pride and ego. We gotta kill that within us. Like, it's so toxic. That's a huge problem to all this. Who cares about being right? I would rather be wrong and acknowledge and like move passing in a healthy way than be right to standing over someone and their diminish their state.
Yeah, no, that's not healthy for anyone. I mean, if you think about
But we just even going into all of that, once again, in a way, it's proof as to how important it is that we grasp this, everyone, better.
it.
And it's whether it's Lyme, depression, anyone going through hard times, I think discussions like this are so important to help us rewire our brains in a more efficient way. Because the reality of it is, there are bigger issues to be focused on that we should be rallying the troops, our community. And it takes a community essentially now to even sift through what food we should put in our mouths, what water we should drink, you know, like stepping up, being part of the solution. With the world issues and the corruption and the whole political everything and information warfare, just everything in it. So we got to master all of this to be our own solutions worldwide. Gosh dang, this is deep. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I with any disease or dis-ease, however you want to you put it, like it really your mind state and your mental and emotional well-being is probably the number one thing to be able to get right, you know, right. And there's no you that's such a hard thing to say if it's right or wrong or this or that, but there are ways that you can be better in alignment with yourself and feel proud of yourself and at peace with yourself that I think is so important to operate from that space instead of, you know, feeling
Yes.
like
I don't know if you want to touch on like any of the like how dark, how tough. I mean, you talked about some of the symptoms obviously being very impactful, like even the lethargic kind of mono-esque symptoms alone are it's so detrimental. Like it for years, like it seems couldn't even really function well enough to do work.
I mean, I remember getting up and going to work, and then every day when I took my lunch break, and I would eat food as fast as I could, and then go in my car and then take a nap. Every
Right.
day that I worked, that was how I was able to operate.
Wow.
And that or living off of stimulants, which
Wow.
we
Take a
all know
toll.
you know, burn
Yeah.
out your adrenals. So
So
the
is it
writing's
main?
on the wall for sure.
Yes. So has it been mainly through diet for you? Have you not done like disulfiram? Is that what it
No,
is? No, doxy, doxy.
doxycycline. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the antibiotics. So no, so I haven't done anything with that.
So like
So
herbs,
yeah, so I haven't started
tinctures.
anything. So because with Lyme, it's the way my naturopath described it, which makes sense, it's like layers of an onion. And
Yes.
so, you know, the first and foremost thing is that you need to work on drainage. And that's making sure your drainage pathways are open. So you're sweating, you're going to the bathroom every day, you know, you're
Wow.
moving
Yes.
lymph, all these things. Because when you kill whatever is going on inside of you, you want to make sure that your body is eliminating that properly and not holding on to it and just recycling it.
Yeah.
So right now I'm working on drainage. And then the next thing after drainage is we're going to go after parasites. So, which is a whole like can of worms, literally, pun intended.
Right. Have you done any ivermectin
No,
supplementing?
no, no.
How are you having
I know.
you got a
I know.
good immune system still fighting for you?
I know. And that's the thing is like for so long I was so mad at myself, right? And like I could cry about it because it's like
Don't be
you just
upset.
get mad at yourself. Like why did this happen? You know, and not a victim mentality, but more so I'm like, get it together. Like, why is this happening? Like, why did you let this happen, so to speak? And it's not like I ever consciously let this happen, but it happened. And just taking extreme responsibility or accountability, and like, you know, what was my part that I played in the reason why this happened? And it's like, whether that was just being exposed at work, or, you know, being in a constant state of fight, flight, which is, you know, or all of the above. I don't even know where I was going with that, but yeah, it's just, I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, you were getting hard on yourself about, but
yeah, I still don't remember.
No, you're good. There's always, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. There's mm-hmm. a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas and things of that nature, but like, what a blessing it is nonetheless. And it's crazy. I feel like when we tap in, we listen to our gut instincts and intuitions and seek, like, just once again, even on an individual level, not even dealing with just humble meekness, we'll be led in profound ways to just break through. So everything kind of just perfectly happens with time for those that are seeking that. Like, you gotta want to,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, want, like, you can't. That's why I've said one of the greatest character defects I've acknowledged, and like people around, as I and even with myself at times, is the know-it-all syndrome. That in and of itself, we get in our own way for own breakthroughs, because the reality of it is we'll never know. And it's just like the gym, it's a forever work. So at any point you feel like, I've achieved the optimal, I'm good. Well, what happens? So that's a very good visual to apply to anything, from emotional intelligence, from business intelligence, spiritual work. It's just like the gym in this mortal state. You know, we're limited beings in this state. And the more we can just kind of, in all aspects of life, bring things full circle, like, it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
I recognize what I was about to say. And it was that, because you had said, wow, you've never done ivermectin or doxycycline or anything like that, and your immune system must be like a badass, kind of. And it was like, I was so mad at myself for so long. Like my body's not doing the right thing. And that was what was hard, because it's like, now that I have some perspective and I take a step back, and it's like, holy crap, my body has been fighting so hard and so well. And it's like, I was so mad at myself for so long. And it's, but really, in reality, my body was doing amazing, and it is doing amazing. Yeah. And so to be able to see that now, is, it obviously makes me emotional, but yeah, it's, our bodies are fighting so hard every day to do the right thing for us. And it's like, amazing. Like,
yes. On crazy. That note, we gotta acknowledge this treat this gift as a temple to an extent, not worship, but treat it well. Cause those that seemingly, we recently, maybe we can continue the Pop-Tart conversation with Maggie, another Lyme warrior, and then it continued on into the poisonous episode. But the reality, we gotta recognize, like, we gotta flip that switch within ourselves, because even to your point earlier about here in America, how many ingredients, how many protocols we do with our food production and whatnot, it's illegal in all these other countries. Illegal, like, it's criminal. Illegal. You can't even smuggle that in, like, a class, whatever level, whatever.
Carcinogen, yeah.
Like, drug, you can't, you don't want to smuggle any of that. Like, it's a nope, like, it's illegal. So it just shows that all these, there's just so much corruption, and it's been not in our benefit, and we've allowed it. We've been too tolerant. And I keep using the frog in the boiling pot of water kind of analogy, where it's just slowly been turned up, and like, it's been effective. Like, all these frogs around us, like, people are treating it like a dang hot tub, like, just kicking back, cracking more beers, watching the football game and just distracted and like it's working, but they're dying.
Yeah.
Like versus like hopping out. I'm trying to shut off the stove. I'm trying to like throw a ladder
it's
in
hot
and
here.
Wow. Some people are like, no, man, are you crazy? Like what?
Yeah.
Is it like
No, we're
that's
dying in
how
here.
effective it's been? Like people just you're the conspiracy theorist, like, whoa. Because the reality of even the healthiest among us, like it's unacceptable to like it seems like they're getting away with having chemicals, carcinogenic chemicals or synthetic materials put in the food, like in pharmaceuticals into the food and water, and as though it's not impacting them. It is. The proof is how we've allowed it to get to this point. I mean, we got a, I'll go there. Might offend some of your people, but we got a freaking daughter showering sociopathic liar, like freaking pedophile, poop panting, or panting. I can't even put words together. My lying brain. Yeah, I'm ripping into him real good. No, it's just, but that's just a freaking puppet sitting in the White House. As a puppet, we've allowed this crazy infiltration. Look what's happening with the border. Look what's happening with the endless printing of money on securing other countries' borders, not ours, and catering to like invaders that are entering illegally, so they're criminal invaders, catering to them more than our freaking veterans. This boils my blood. The fentanyl crisis, more than 100,000 people now annually are dying due to this freaking drug getting smuggled into our freaking country. And our puppet establishment is actively keeping this open and going against the states that are trying to take action to stop it. The slavery, the child sex trafficking that's taking place. I'm sorry, I could go on, but it's no secret. It's deteriorating, and our healthy are allowing it and are perpetuating part of this issue because they're blindly not seeing that pot that's boiling them slowly alive, that dang Pop-Tart. It's not just Pop-Tart, it's everything. So it's bigger than any individual. It's we, the people. Evil is effectively what the war machine I call mainstream media. It's just this manipulation machine that has been so effective. You could follow the money. You could connect it all to BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and the nefarious owners of that. Like, it's no secret. It's just tyranny. It's never ended. Look at real history. It's rampant. So it's time we not allow that war machine to polarize topics, weaponize words, pit us against each other, and we get to the root of these issues, because that in and of itself is how we're gonna actually enact the real solutions it's gonna take to rule out this epidemic known as Lyme disease, that's killing people and diminishing people's quality of life. What you touched on, I digress again, but what you touched on regarding, like, I don't know, that emotional connection you have, like, with your body. And I believe the emotional part to be from, it's like you've been conscious, you've been treating it well, but just that realization that, like, wow, I could be treating it better.
Yeah, and then always just I mean, I have a super critical, I'm hypercritical. And so it's like, what are you not doing? What are you not doing right? And just being hard on myself. But then to have someone like you who are like, oh, you haven't done doxy, you haven't done ivermectin. It's like, no, I haven't. And my body's still hanging in there. I'm obviously doing everything I can within my power of what I know how. And it is working. I am still functional. I can still take my dogs for a walk. And I'm so thankful and grateful for that. Are there days that is harder for me? Yeah, absolutely. But like, that's when I need to sit my ass down and just try and be mellow. And that's hard. It's really hard because I'm super like of the mindset of like, if I'm not productive, then what am I worth? And it's like, is my value, is my worthiness in my my ability to be productive or not? Like, I don't know. I mean, ask yourself that, but it's something I certainly struggle with. Absolutely.
Well, you
got to
be honest with the reality of the situation, though, you know, and everyone's situation's uniquely structured, right? And with this disease, you got to sit back and give yourself grace at times where it's just like this thing, you can't white knuckling could be in some aspects to, you know, yes, function and things that you want to do and acquire. And it could be totally counterproductive to actually real solution. Yeah. Like it could be more derailing.
Absolutely.
Then so you got to give yourself that grace and acknowledge and recognize. But boy, I tell you, like, it's so cool when you start having breakthrough where just naturally waking up earlier, more excitement, just actually, like, I've recently had some very, very productive days that, and it hit me at the end of the day as I was thinking through, wow, I did this and this and this and this and this and this. And it's like, at no point was I overwhelmed. And that fell on a day where I was even going in for my 4-hour IV. And it was just like, and then I reflected back. I remember kicking off these IVs. It was such a weight and a challenge to get in for that singular thing. And the fact I did that in the gym and returns and then all these other things and episode and content and marketing and affiliated program. It was just like all these things. And at no point I felt overwhelmed when the singular thing was overwhelmed. It's like,
huge
progress.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know we mashed out an hour. We are well over an hour. Like, this is awesome. It'd be great to get it out. And obviously if there's other things you want to grasp, cause I feel a bit guilty. I did a lot of ranting.
No, you're fine.
we could have you back at any point. This will be exciting though. I really hope to reach out to even some of our brothers and sisters out there on the islands. It's actually pretty cool. I've been noticing on the podcast side of things, like the apps, California is next in line to here in Arizona. I'm like, oh wow, so we're actually getting through to some of them Californians.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful. A little thankful I'm not in California anymore. Not that Hawaii is, you know,
right.
Politics.
I mean,
but yeah.
At what point are we just gonna recognize, like, my neighbor's Jeep represents some truth with the sticker of "Don't California my Arizona." It's like there's truth to that. You cannot flee a deteriorating state due to failed policy and corruption, and then vote in the same corruption in another state. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's.
There's got to be room for growth, and there's got to be more research. And in an information age, the most important thing we could do is source information. The biggest red flag I'd say anywhere that is essentially like my way or the highway, red flag that, okay? Red flag that. And be aware when there's a place that lies, okay, gaslights, okay? Pick your poison. Any mainstream news channel, Fox included, has shown its colors, let's just say during the pandemic. It's shown its colors. But it's like we have amnesia, or we can't develop new habits and people still tune into that crap.
Yeah.
Like, what? They don't care about you, folks. And there's amazing patriots and independent sources for information that will more so take the stance that we try to have here is like, look, this is my research. This is what I find to be credible and true and a grave threat. But don't take my word for it. please do your own research. And there's a big difference between that. And we got to bring our own discernment back into the mix, because it's collectively having those type of conversations where we're actually going to lead to real solutions across the world stage, futuristically speaking. Evil would have it this way or the highway, and shut that door, polarize it so much to where we cannot communicate and do that. Now we're caught up in the fluff, not being effective.
Yes.
This is a bombshell episode. Do you have anything else, Erica, that you'd like to touch on regarding Lyme disease, anything?
No, I just, it's hard. Like I said, you know, trying to like formulate my stories. I never
write
anything down, and it's been, you know, 2017 is, I would say, when it started, and 2023 is when I finally got, you know, a positive test. I tested positive for Borrelia burgdorferi, or however you say it. I got IgM and IgG antibodies. And then, so that means a past infection, but also a current something going on with IgM.
Yes.
And I think the other, you know, cause there's always co-infections that go along with it. Like, but I didn't have Babesia or Bartonella, but I did have Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and then anaplasma or something. I'm still very fresh with all this. So it's, but it, I think it's the biggest thing is to, you know, if you are suffering with MS or ALS, or I think they even go as far as to say Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, you know, it's worth entertaining the idea that it could be Lyme. And that, yes. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, is that what harm is it in exploring it?
Folks, help us bring the awareness and refine the institutions to the point we actually, I feel, my gosh, if we could provide free bioweapon jabs that falsely were safe and under the whatever. But the idea is, if we could provide free that, right? Okay. Under a false guise of a pandemic that apparently wasn't killing anyone. Couldn't we potentially make a test that is effective testing, free and available for everyone to at least go in and rule this out as an issue within themselves, and then eradicate it from the freaking globe?
But so why doesn't that exist?
Yes. Right. But why? Well, because you could see the corruption. And we're allowing this to perpetuate and not allowing real solutions to run supreme. Like, I care about our health over the big business corps and whatnot. So we do not discredit what we can do. Let's just highlight anyone that would be like, well, what difference am I going to make? That's just, once again, that's proof. You're just chilling in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, treating it. You're treating it like a hot tub, not seeing like really.
Yeah.
That's proof of the deteriorated state, because we need you. And there's simple calls to action. Like, if you feel that, well, what difference I can make when it comes to voting, your clicks, views, likes every day? Because those are simple like calls to action every day that shifts the power from the tyrannical to people that share similar morals and values. Because the reality of this day and age, even over Amazon, even over your Walmart or the closest grocer to you, you can access more pure things easier than ever before. But you could support, folks, the alternate economy, right? Yes, it may be more. We've been so coddled. We're all about inconvenience, like the now, here. I'm not going to drive 5 more minutes. Why would I do that? Plus, it's a dollar cheaper here. It's like, but that you're gonna spend futuristically a lot more on the medical issues that's going to provide you than this holistic one, even if it's a few dollars more. Are you freaking kidding me? It's a no-brainer. So once again, if it's challenging to grasp that, there's focus on your health. That's what, because we need the best version of you to help the momentum in these other arenas. And as you up your resilience, you'll start being like, you know what? I do care about that. I do care about the indoctrination happening at schools. I do care about this corruption over here. I'm going to join this. I'm going to join that. Like, I got all this time. I got all this energy. Like, it feels good. And it's very rewarding. It's very blessing. And we all need to do just that. And it's never been easier before. It's never been easier. I said that. I don't know why that rang funny in my brain. But it's never been easier.
There you go.
That's better. It's never been easier before. Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
No, it makes
I'm
sense.
Special. I'm not 100%, folks. Okay.
Hey, join the club.
It's never been easier for those that want to be parts of the solution. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be this podcast. If you don't like my voice, I don't like my voice. I get it. Find some voice out there on Rumble or these free speech platforms you do resonate with. There's a lot of amazing patriots, and there's ones deeper pockets and far better organized than I. I'm not here to hoard everyone. It shows, I hope, some type of integrity where I care more about a better tomorrow than a financial gain. Are you kidding me? But if this does resonate with you, if you do feel any type of value, please subscribe, comment, like, because all of those things create the momentum we need to be more solution based. And you could just copy. It's really tough. You copy the link, go to your social, paste. Folks, check this out. Paste, like, send this out. Let's blow this up. Let's support Erica. Erica, how do you have a GoFundMe? Do you have anything structured?
No. No.
Has this been pretty financially
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm thankful that I do have the support of my partner, because I left my job and then COVID hit and then I was let go. And so, and that was back in 2020. And then I dealt with all of this chaos, and now, you know, fast forward, we've lost 4 years to insanity. Right. And now I'm dealing with Lyme. So,
well, we know better. Never again. They tried doing the pandemic 2.0, but enough people saw through it. And with enough people being like, yeah, no, not going to mask, not going to wear a diaper on my face, not going to put it on my child. Sorry. Look, they couldn't reenact it. They couldn't fulfill the vaccine passports. They couldn't fulfill line up every few months for your new freaking bioweapon booster, right? Yeah. So it's the power we got, the power of no. Let's not allow that. So if you care to share whatever links, your social medias for listeners to support you, plug into you, just connect, plug into you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Erica Hartsmat on Instagram. And that's really about all she wrote as far as, you know, me. I'm trying to think of things, ways, obviously, that I can continue and make income that don't involve working for someone who just wants me to be a corporate slave. But
I like it. Sky's the limit. I'm telling you, we do live in, even with the deterioration around us, we do live in a land of abundance. We've never had it better in a lot of ways. So I want to see and influence more folks to fall into what they enjoy versus being that corporate slave. Because, I mean, there is truth to the saying, you never work a day in your life if you in fact enjoy doing what you're doing.
And yeah, absolutely.
There's financial reward to that too.
Yeah. I would say the last thing I was thinking about, some of the things that I've recently incorporated as far as my health is concerned, is sun, just getting sun exposure, that without sunglasses on, because that's a huge circadian setter, right? Is actually getting sun within your eyes, which sounds insane.
Yeah.
But because we've been taught for so long to not wear sunglasses. Obviously, you don't want to go out in the middle of the day and just stare at the sun ever.
Right.
But morning or evening sun exposure where there's the infrared light spectrum that's present is going to be hugely beneficial. So because
there's
we're
so much to that,
right? We're more complicated plants is one of the things that people say. So sun, healthy water, filtering your water, grounding. I mean, it
grounding.
Sounds super hippy dippy, but like those negative ions that are coming.
I'm sitting on a grounding mat right now.
Hey, good. So
it's not as good as Mother Earth, but
no, but you know, those are free things that we can just get back to like more centeredness, more humanness, more just.
You know what? You're a testament to it, actually. You've had breakthrough, and I imagine that has a huge part of the you know, the level of function you even have right now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, and I want to believe that, and I choose to believe that. So I think that's hugely important for.
Well, I know that there's science to back it up too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, any closing statement?
No, unfortunately, nothing.
No, you're good. All right. Well, just hang on the line, Erica, because I'd like to chat with you just a bit after. But folks, thank you so much for joining us today on this awesome conversation. It was already a huge win. I took a lot from it. Apologize on talking too much if in fact you have questions, because I talked too much and we didn't get to the bottom of some things with Erica here. Just be sure to leave it in the comments and we will have her back on. We got this, folks. I sure hope this breathes some life and hope back into you, and the importance it is to look inwardly, hold ourselves more accountable, responsible for our current state and everything around us. After all, that's all we can do. We can't sit here and point the finger. We can't change other people's, like, everyone's got their own free agency. So the more we can look inwardly, lead by example, things are going to shift. What better things to be in tune with and improve upon more than our quality of state of being? So thanks so much for joining us today. Till next time, take care. God bless.